Forno. So I've been on the road, I've been running around playing different towns, and I'm just like everybody else in this room, we all have one thing in common. We're getting older, you know, and as I get older, I wouldn't say no longer, because I certainly do end up sleeping on some filthy couch in a house where 17 people live, you know, but luckily as the years go by, I my friends get older and they get coupled up, you know, and it's not that women are any neater than men, it's just that when women live with men, they tend to tidy up. And so I end up in situations that are tidied up, which frankly isn't so bad. You know, I've enjoyed this. So I was in San Francisco when I was visiting an old friend, and so he no longer lives in a house with a bunch of slobs. So he lives with his lovely new wife, and she tidies up. And so I had a place to sleep that was tidy, you know. And so I went there, and we had dinner, and she said something funny, and I missed it. Oh, yeah. It's tidy, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is not, I'm not a sociologist here. You know, I'm just sort of casual observations. So I'm in San Francisco, and if she has a spare room, I'm actually, you know, I would consider this, you know. What does breakfast look like over there? Garbage?
Average.
Average, average. I'm a muesli fan. I eat muesli. Muesli and herbal tea. Okay, I'm looking. Okay. Porridge. Yeah, that's nice. In fact, I could use some porridge on my throat, I'm sure. So where are we? We're in San Francisco. I'm with my friend Chris, but we call him the Chrisser. And I'm staying at his house with his young wife who tidies up. And we have dinner. Then his new wife decides to go to bed. We go out to the bar. And we're in San Francisco, but sort of a residential part of San Francisco. It's very quiet. You know, and now I have to explain, I forget this, see, when I'm in the States, I've been telling the story because, as you'll see, it's kind of amazingly funny what happens to me. But I use this story to demonstrate the crack, because people don't understand how to use the word, you know, in the States, and really they never will, but I like to tell the story anyways, to sort of demonstrate how to use it in a sentence. So I'm there with Chris, and his wife goes to bed, but he and I go out to a bar, and turns out we go into an Irish bar, and what's really a kicker to me is that it's the most authentic Irish bar in the States I've ever been in, because the woman serving drinks is Polish, so it's incredible, and it's like the most authentic Irish bar I've ever experienced, you know. So, and then the thing is, there's nobody else in the bar, you know, it's just, there's one older couple in the bar, you know, and we have the first round of drinks, you know, we're drinking away, and there's one problem, it's that this Polish girl is rolling top 40 80s dance music, and I play sometimes to a young audience, you know, people who are maybe between 16 and 20, 22, and they don't remember that the 80s were not cool, you know, and they need to be reminded, the 80s were not, you know, it's like, there's these things like 80s dance parties and stuff, you know, and the thing is that all punk rock did not come about because the 80s were cool. I mean, that's people forget that. Punk rock, it was a reaction to the 80s, so it's actually not cool. The 80s are not cool. And I need to remind, now see, the rest of you already know that. You know, you're like stuck in way earlier times than the 80s around here. The 80s didn't even phase this place, man. I mean, in the 80s you had Dannon and Planxty, so it was a whole different reality over here. So where are we now? So we're sitting in the bar, they're rolling the 80s dance music, I'm having a drink. And I cannot listen to this any longer, so I go over to the jukebox. As we all know, the jukebox can be sort of a dodgy situation. You might find something good, but very rarely. But I do go to the jukebox, and I find one decent band that came out in the 80s. I guess it was only 80s on this damn jukebox. But I found one decent band from the 80s. I put on the Pogues. Very good, you know. So the Pogues are wailing away now, and I'm listening, and we're enjoying ourselves. Now, the one older couple gets up to leave, and as it turns out, they're Irish. Now, you're going to get a kick out of this, because I'm going to do the Irish accent, you know. And when I do this, my friends say, Robert, by any chance are the people you're imitating, were they from Turkey living in Ireland? But you know, that's the best I can do, you know. So anyways, I'm sitting there, and they come by the bar, and she goes, what would you give these boys a
some money to be drinking all that. They both on the pool. I like the pool so much better than I like that dancey stuff. I listened to that dancey stuff earlier. I didn't like it at all, not at all. And, would you give them some money to be having a few pints now?
Aye, lad. There's some money for you now. Drink away with me, boys. All right, now. No butter at all. No butter. All right, now. Have a few drinks with me.
We're happy at this point. You know, this is good. This is like my dream comes true. I figured life would be more like this when I was a young man and discovered good music. I thought, I will just get paid for having good taste in music. And it hasn't happened yet, but that one night, I got $20 to drink on for having good taste in music. And that was a fantastic experience. Now, you may have some disagreements in the room. Some of you may like Guinness. Some of you may like Smithix. Some of you may like Budweiser or Miller. I don't know who that would be, but there's one thing that we can all agree on, that the best beer in the world is... Free beer. So we're drinking other people's money away now, having a hell of a wonderful night. Everything is just as... life is good. Okay, now I realize now that I'm about 7.5% into the story, so bear with me. We're gonna try to speed it up a little bit. I got sidetracked. Usually I'm wrapped up about this time, but I barely begun there. Look at them. So bear with me. So anyways, just the two of us in the bar. One guy walks in. The guy walks in, starts talking to us, starts saying he knows all these famous people like Wavy Gravy and Bob Dylan, and I don't believe him, but I'm enjoying the chat. Then he says Martin Luther King is the greatest American icon ever. I say, okay. But for the fun of it, let's discuss other great American icons. And so we do. We start talking about George Washington and Harriet Tubman. And we're having a good conversation here. Life is going good and we're enjoying ourselves. Drinking away. A fourth person walks into the bar. A young man obviously attends Gold's Gym or something of this nature, for he has big muscles and he's wearing tight clothing. He sits down and starts talking to us. He actually comes over and says, oh, you guys want to shoot some pool? I say... no, we can't shoot pool. We're having a discussion about great American icons. He says, oh, okay. I say, yo, please join us. He says, oh, okay. So he sits and joins us. He doesn't have much to say for about 15 minutes, and we're wailing away on our conversation, drinking and talking, pontificating on great American icons. At this point, he says, you know, see this beanie on my head? It costs $500. Okay, great, nice. Then he says something else. There is a great American icon none of you have come up with yet. I'm going to go over to the jukebox and I'm going to put it on. Who did he go put on? The great American icon, the common denominator, the one person that, no matter who you are, you love this man? Well, hello there. Gee, it's been a long, long time. Willie Nelson. What about Willie Nelson? Everybody loves Willie, man. It doesn't mean you're a cowboy. Even rappers like Willie Nelson, you know? I mean, everybody likes Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson even made a reggae album, and he calls it reggae. So we're drinking away now. We're having a good time with great American icons. But the Polish bartender doesn't understand the crack, you know? So it's time for us to go. She kicks us out onto the street. But before we leave, the Beanie Man turns out to be one of these people, kind of like Eddie Keehan. When you know that closing time is coming, you start panic buying extra rounds. Extra rounds are being bought round after round because you never know when the ball is going to come down and you want to be prepared. So this guy with the $500 beanie now has bought us 3 extra rounds. There are 3 pints of Stella in front of me at this point. And we are kicked out of the bar. I shoot down the pints of beer. We walk out onto the street. The San Francisco, every time I do this to you, Eddie, I really do apologize. I can't help myself. I love this guy. Put your hands together for Eddie Keehan. He's a legend. And keep it going, one for curbside, and great opening sets. See, I take the piss out of you, you get a bigger applause, and so that's the upside of that one. So anyways, let me focus in. I'm telling you, we're about 13% through the story now, and these guys just walked in and said, what the fuck is going on here? We have a cigarette, but I'm going to try to get out of here. Okay, so here we are. Walking out of San Francisco tonight, we're heavily loaded on booze, life is good and groovy. Who is waiting for us out there on the sidewalk? The old Irishman. And what did I tell you? I thought the old divinity. I took her to bed and she's sleeping like a stone in bed, but I came down here to see if you boys wanted to sit in the car with me and have a bit of a smoke. Would you sit in the car with me, boys, and have a smoke with me now? And Now, I don't smoke pot because one time, one of two things happens when I do. I either fall asleep or throw up. I even wrote a rhyme about it once. I was making good time until I lost my wine with a girl from Mullingar. That was the last straw. So I don't smoke pot, but will I, in the middle of the night in San Francisco, get into the car with a drunk Irishman? I get in the car, my friend Chris gets in the car, the Beanie Man gets in the car, and the man who proclaimed Martin Luther King's greatest American icon gets in the car. Now, instead of simply rolling a joint and smoking it and passing around and having a nice night, he starts to drive away. He starts to drive away from the bar. He does not ask us if we want to go somewhere. He just starts driving. And if you've been to San Francisco, they have hills here. The hills in San Francisco are what you in Ireland would call mountains. These are big, tall things. They're very tall. They go up into the sky, very far into the sky. So now we are up in the sky on top of these, driving higher and higher away from where the bar is. But we're having a hell of a great time. And I've got to let you know, the Irishman was blasting jigs and reels, you know, the bouzouki and the boron were just banging away. And the Beanie Man said, "What is this music? I've never heard this before." I said, "It's Irish music." He says, "I love Irish music." We are having a great time. Now the music is blasting. We are left the car running. The car is blasting the Irish music outside in a small little park on top of a San Francisco hill or an Irish mountain. And we are having a great time there. And it turns out that they're all smoking pot, but he has three cans of Miller High Life beer in the car, so we're passing the cans of beer around. And as you may have guessed, anybody who wears a $500 beanie likes cocaine. Okay, so there is yet another drug I don't want to be involved with at this point at all. I just kind of hang out while the cocaine gets rolled into the joint and passed around. And the Irish jigs and reels are blasting. It's about 3 a.m. in San Francisco on a Sunday night, and one more group of people comes to join us. Who is it? The police. That's right, the police. They come. At this point, I realize I've been in jail before in New York City, and I don't want to be in jail again in San Francisco because some guy with big muscles and a $500 beanie happens to have a cocaine problem. So I, at this point, slink away from the group with my friend Chris, and as the police comb through the trees with their lights and the dogs, we stand behind the trees. About 20 minutes, and we finally crawl home. We get home back to where the bed is there, and the house is very neat. And I have clean sheets to sleep in, which is a very nice thing when you're on the road, I'm telling you. Clean sheets. Not too clean. When you stay in a motel, the sheets are too damn clean. It's scary. Why are they that clean? They seem so clean. Starch. Not good. So I wake up in the morning, and remember, the reason I tell this story is so that I can use C-R-A-I-C in a sentence for dumb Americans. And I say, I wake up in the morning, and I look at Chris, and I say, "Chris, that was some good crap." This song has nothing to do with San Francisco or Ireland or anything like this. But it does have to do with the crack, and there's another appropriation I've made of the Irish language. You'll notice it in the second stanza.